Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. Today I'm here with Christine Madeira. She is the host of podcast Conversations from the Edge of Consciousness. She's an author and transformation specialist. Is it fair to say that, Christine?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Christine and I have known each other quite a while online, and it is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to her today. So welcome, Christine.
Thank you, Linda. It's really nice to be here. I'm just thrilled to be talking with you because we're such kindred spirits in so many ways.
I totally agree. Now, often within the challenges of our lives, there are huge gifts and also the possibility of change in life direction. That's happened for me in my younger years. That's recently happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's about 8 months ago or so, I believe, back in May. I had already made some shifts in my life. I was shifting out of some stuff, shifting into some other things. And I was getting out of the car. And the interesting thing about this to me anyway, was that I had bought this pair of shoes because it was a pair of river shoes that I thought, you know, I just needed a pair because I had to be able to go out in the rain and go in the pool, go in the river. And I didn't, you know, I was just like, eh, about them. But I realized I had been wearing them all day and I really liked them. So I looked down and I talked to my shoes, which I do not normally do. And I said, God, I really like you. This was really a good buy. I really appreciate you in my life. I'm really glad you're here. Within an hour, I was getting out of the car and I had two bags of groceries in my hands. And the elastic lace of the shoe got caught under the car and I could not get the lace out. And I'm like, even at that moment, I'm like, oh my gosh, something's happening. And I ended up turning and falling and hitting our other car and hitting my head on the bumper of our other car on the way down. And I was laying on the ground, and that was my sixth concussion. I had five as a teenager, and that was number six. And I could feel like my brain swelling or doing whatever it was doing, but I could feel things happening. I had this big awareness that life was going to change. And, you know, that this was all, it was all good, it was all fine, but life is going to change and there's nothing you can do about it. So I thought, okay, I'm life is going to change. And then the other thing was, you have too many things going on, what are you going to give up? And I had a new book proposal in that I was working on that was apparent that I wasn't supposed to give up. I had another thing going on I wasn't supposed to give up. So I had been doing essential oils as a business and I'm like, that's it. So I had said, take that away. That's fine. So that went away. And I crawled basically into the house and I knew, I checked in about, do I need to go to the hospital? And it's like, nope, you just need to sit in a dark room for a while. So for about the next 2 months, I was sitting in a dark room for the better part of that. I could do small bits of things here and there. And I would get, because I had to finish my book proposals. So I would be sitting in my dark room all day and I would get the awareness, you have 10 minutes. Get that section done, you know, start now. So I would hurriedly get that done in 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, like my brain was done. Like there was nothing else was happening. And I'd go back and sitting in the dark room. And I was in awareness, but I could not be in thought. And that was one of a lot of the benefits of that period of time for me. And I was even aware in the moment, like what a gift that was. And also how radically lucky I was that I could accommodate that in my life. And because not everybody can. And also that the trying to, or the awareness of being open to the process as I was healing, that I didn't go back into my old habits. And that I maintained some of the gifts moving forward, or all of the gifts, I guess, moving forward. So it was a big deal, and it was a radical shift in my life.
So most people can't even imagine what it's like not to have any thoughts. Some people get into that space when mm-hmm. they meditate mm-hmm. for short periods of time. Some people are able to carry that a little bit longer, but you did that for 2 months.
Pretty much, yeah. And what it was not hard for those couple of months, because anytime my brain would start working, I started thinking or analyzing or in some other way using my conditioned brain or the synapses in my brain, my head would hurt. And it would hurt significantly. So I could tell when I was thinking. And so when I began thinking, because it hurt, I was immediately wanting it not to hurt, because it was apparent to me that having it hurt was not, it wasn't like, you know, no pain, no gain. It was having it hurt was really the signal that you're using your brain ineffectively. And because when I needed to use it, like when I had those 10 minutes of periods of time, it didn't hurt. It was only when that little gift of time to get a particular thing that had a time element to it done, that like once that was done, there was no editing. There was no going back and saying, well, let me just edit this to death, which is my, you know, my normal thing. It was, this is done, you know, put that comma there and then click send. And now you're back in the dark room. You know, it was very apparent when whatever it was done, it would start hurting again. And that was my signal, stop. So it was not hard to catch myself. It's harder now.
Yeah. So it's almost divine that this accident happened to you, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I knew it at the time. There's only certain people you can really say that to. I had this divine accident. It's wonderful. Because most people, you say you had a concussion, and I came out on the internet when I could do little bits and pieces, and I talked about it a little bit, and I never got the response, oh my God, that's so amazing, like I was thinking it was. I got, oh my gosh, I feel so sorry for you. Oh my God, I had all this energy of like, you know, you're broken, let's all get you healed. I'm like, no, I'm not broken at all. I'm like, I'm like reorganizing, this is great. And it's not a problem at all. It's just taking me out of my ordinary life, which was a good thing. And it's rearranging things so that when I come back in, I come back in differently than I was living before, which is the whole point and the whole gift within it. And it was wonderful.
I think sometimes we tend to look at the drama and trauma in life from that very human perspective of challenge. And there can be such profound gifts and growth through those experiences that we are a different person when we come out the other side.
Totally. And there was one other thing that was just popped in with that one, when you said that. The other thing that during that 2 month period of time where I couldn't really think is that I realized how much of my previous like self-referencing was referencing the conditioning in my thoughts and my brain. And so any kind of self-referencing that happened at that point was the referencing of that awareness, the referencing of the heart, the referencing of that larger self, the referencing of the higher self. And the difference that was in experience than when you're kind of looking into yourself to see what you think about something, that normally you're not really looking at that higher perspective of you that's giving you a larger sense of what it is. You're looking at, you know, what is my idea of myself and what are all of my ideas around this? And let me consolidate those around this new piece of information. And that was a huge gift too.
And down the rabbit hole we go, right?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. And this is, yes, down the rabbit hole. We could really go there.
I often suggest to my clients to kind of step out of that thinking brain, even just for a brief minute, and tune into like the body sensations, the wisdom of the body, the energy behind the circumstances, and really tune into the information that's coming to you first, because your conscious mind is going to take you on a totally different tangent.
Yes.
You were essentially forced to do this, but it didn't necessarily feel like being forced. It felt like a gift for you. And that's a really healthy attitude to have when you're going through a challenge.
Yeah, it was like a retreat in a way. You know, I still had things I needed to do. It wasn't like I was sitting on a mountaintop somewhere. I still had, you know, some things that needed to get done. But it really felt like a retreat in the sense that it takes you out of ordinary life and it has you experiencing things in a different way. And then, of course, as I was healing, you have the option of the choice. Do I remain in this new state and operate from this and expand from here? Or do I let the old habits and patterns slip back in and go back to what I was doing before? And I have found, you know, I found some of that as well. I don't know if you've had that experience. You probably have. You have these amazingly awakening experiences, and when the you go kind of back into your ordinary state, those ordinary patterns come back up, and then you have got that, hopefully not everybody pays attention, but you've got that choice, you know, am I operating here or am I operating here, and to make that choice intentional so that you know what you're doing and you're not just sort of like defaulting back into old habits and patterns.
Yeah, absolutely. That place of choice is really our place of power, really.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I'm curious, Christine, you talked about feeling gratitude and appreciation for your new shoes before this whole experience started.
Yes, they conspired in this.
Now, I'm curious if you think that that was part and parcel of the process, that maybe that awareness even opened the door for the possibility or the manifestation of the experience that followed.
Yes, for sure. In certain ways, I'm not sure. I think I would have had the experience anyway, because it was one of those big experiences that I think, you know, when it's in front of the track, it's going to happen regardless. But I think it set me up with in the energy and the mindset of magic. And because I'd never talked to my shoes. I mean, I like my shoes, but I don't generally talk to them. And it was just such a feeling of connection with my shoes. And when this happened, and I had other people, when I said this, I'm like, oh, throw the shoes out? My husband's like, throw them out. I'm like, no, they're my new favorite shoes. But it put me in the mindset that even as it was caught, that lace was caught there, like I knew this was something big. I knew this was something that was beyond my ability to choose, you know, not to have the experience. And I knew it was something that I was inviting myself into. So I think it put me into that space from the very beginning, because otherwise I think I'd have gotten there eventually, but I think, you know, it might not have been quite the easy place that it was in that process. And I do think that life is a cooperative, participating process, that we're not victims of life, and we don't direct everything in our life. You know, despite the law of attraction manifestation people, there are some things that are scripted outside of our conscious control, and we can choose how we respond to them. And my shoe thing gave me the setup to respond in a particular way that may not have been as available had that not happened.
So what I hear from that is that life has consciousness.
Oh, absolutely.
It is a force on its own, not just a process. The reason why I asked that question, Christine, because I found a parallel in my own story of having a challenge to change my life. And I've talked about that on the podcast before, about having a cancer and starting to have all these really mystical experiences and healing myself from cancer.
Uh-huh.
And, go back and listen to that one.
I will. I'm intrigued.
I was only 22 years old, and I was married with a young child, and I'm given a year to live. It was probably about a week or maybe 2 weeks before that diagnosis. I remember, you know, getting on the bus. I had a little part-time job that I absolutely loved, and I got on the bus to go to my job, and I just sat there and essentially said to God, you know, I love my life. I don't want it to change. You know, I love my husband. I love my baby. I love everything about my life. And then a week or 2 weeks, however long it was, because I went to the doctor, you know, I felt something was off behind my knee. And lo and behold, right? It was just kind of like the energy of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed to be very linked,
yeah,
kind of energetically, that my declaration of I don't want things to change, well, that's totally against the nature of life and the universe.
Yeah.
And you think this is the best it can be? Well, we have some surprises for you, but they're gold nuggets in something that's really challenging.
Yes. And but the other thing that you said that really, I think, that you get the tools for the journey, whether you are aware of them or not. But the other thing that you said was, I love my life. Now, our response to that, you know, is I love my life, so of course I don't want it to change because then I might not love it as much. And you know, things can always get better. But when you say, when you bring the energy of I love my life, that is so non-typical. And so when you have that energy of I love my life, like that's the tool, that's the energy that helps you look at something like cancer and say, yeah, I have this and I love my life. And having that energy help to carry you forward and carry you through. So, I mean, what a magical combination of things that happen.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I mean, it really grew my love of life, and I could mm-hmm. see how much your life is your gift. And now I love my life even more. And I appreciate the challenges in it because I get to have more self-awareness mm-hmm. and make different choices. And of course, do my inner work because that's yeah. what I do. And it's just been magical.
It is. And good for you, especially at the age of 22, to hear you have a year to live and to make a different choice. Because when you get a diagnosis like that, and then people bring to you all of the energy around that, and we had talked about this a little bit earlier, when I had told people the magic of my concussion, all they heard was concussion. And I got a lot of pity, and I'm like, no, did you hear the magic? But it's a lot when people come at you, when there's doctors and there's family and there's other people saying, oh my gosh, you're only this age, what are you going to do? And you've got this young child and all this. It is really takes a lot to hold that center and hold that magic and bring yourself through it. Because oftentimes you're doing it by yourself. There's not a lot of people who are companioning you through the journey of living through that.
Well, and especially early 80s, I mean, alternative yeah. was not as yeah. mainstream
yeah.
or accessible as it is now. But I just have to say that I have such a great team of spirit helpers. I'm sure they were banging their head against the wall many times, but you know, they just don't give up. And yeah. I feel incredibly supported on my journey.
There was something we were talking about prior to the podcast that we have in common that I think really speaks to this. And it seems selfish to people who come at this a different way or who are coming with the mindset of judgment of what we're supposed to do in life, is that when you live your life for your own fulfillment, that it doesn't matter as much what other people say or do. And when you live it, and when you're not really grounded in that, and you're grounded in that, and I'm grounded in that, like I do everything because it's meaningful to me. But when you start buying into that idea that you need to take care of other people's emotions, you need to take care of other, you need to be what they need you to be so that you fit into whatever it is that you fit into, or you need to deny yourself in order to accommodate other people, which I've done enough of, but not at that core level. But when you're really attuned to yourself at that core level, you can tune out that other stuff and really come into that place and say, what is it that I want at that deep level? And stay really honestly attuned to that. And I think that's one of the big steps in the journey of wholeness and in the spiritual journey in general, is to be able to find that and walk with that. And good for you for being there at 22 years old. That's amazing.
Yes, there were many gifts. There were many gifts in it, and it is not anything I would wish on anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Times are different now, and we're in that energy that's really encouraging us all to yeah. make our own choices and be our own person. So hopefully it's tons easier for everyone else.
Yeah, I've been encouraged that people who I know who are in cancer journeys and in different things have more and more doctors who are looking at like the partnership model of wellness and health versus the authoritarian. Like, I'm telling you what to do. There's certainly that still out there, and people still buy into that or find those doctors. But more and more, I'm finding doctors who are validating people's inner journey and experience and letting them make the choices instead of dictating what those choices need to be. So I think even though it's slow, it's infiltrating all levels to really honor people's choices and to understand that the journey is as important as what comes after, like the culmination of that journey. And sometimes that journey is not, you know, coming into wellness and wholeness. Sometimes that journey is the journey of letting go and dying, and that's not wrong. That's just the journey.
Yeah, that's just the journey. And on the big picture, mm-hmm. you know,
everything is always there.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been really interesting chatting with you, Christine. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners about your experience and what you learned?
I think the biggest thing that I would share right now is to, and this is really important for me, and I need a lot of inner time and a lot of rejuvenation. I know we've talked about that a little bit, but I think everybody needs that to a certain degree. And to carve out a time in your day, in your life, in your, you know, for moments that you can just be with yourself and be with what is, and just give yourself those little gifts. I take, you know, people call them mental health days. Sometimes people take those or whatever, but this whole idea of, you know what, I rarely get sick. In fact, I almost never get sick of this concussion through me, but I never get sick with other things, but I will take, you know, sick days. I will take, carve out those days that it's like, I have my permission day to do whatever it is that I want to do. That, you know, we need those times to serve our inner self. And it's not a service to that inner self to always be directed in the external world. There's the doing, and we do the doing so that we have the having, but there's the being that's at the core of that. And spending some time dropping into that being to really hear what it is that is calling you forward. I find that when you're attuned to the being, you can do a lot less doing and have the same amount or more having. Like, you know, there's a lot more juice when you spend time in being than you get from doing too much.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually just wrote a blog article about that. It's about finding your reason inside yourself instead of externally.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'll maybe pop the link in the show notes. Christine, would you like to share your website, your contact information, your podcast link, how we can find you?
Okay, so you can find everything through my website. It's christinemadera.com, and it's Christine with a K and Madera as in Mad Era. But you can also find that through the link conversationsfromtheedge.net. And there's a way to contact me. There is my podcast information, and all the podcasts are listed in there under the blog. And Conversations from the Edge is the name, and then of consciousness is kind of parenthetical, but it's really talking in depth with a core group of people, and two more people as we go, but not one-off so much, but ordinary people who I know who are personally and professionally at their edge and constantly pushing the edge of their consciousness, constantly playing in that field. And we talk about some of the tools that they use, some of the things that they do. It's not the big giant things like, let's talk about the quantum field. It's like, what is this one small tweak you can make, and how does it radiate through your life? So it's that kind of a podcast. It is really conversations. And sometimes they're more conversational than other times, but I really enjoy it. I invite people to come. I do have a novel on there called God in Drag, which everything about what I do is about consciousness, and it's a great novel. Takes place in India. That's kind of an idea story that came to me when I was doing work for Mother Teresa's Home for the Dying and trying to kind of not be in the dying place while I was there. So I had an imagination run amok.
Well, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You'll find us on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Anchor.fm. You'll find me at thoughtchange.com. Pick up your copy of Learning to Listen, and we'll see you again next time. Bye for now.